Welcome to the When God Calls podcast. I am your host, Michael McCaskill, public servant, lay servant, and cancer survivor. Each episode, you will hear motivational stories from people whose lives have been changed by serving others. Along the way, you'll get tips and strategies that you can use to become a more effective Christian. Thanks for listening. Now let the journey continue. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed on all of us. Thank you for this time where we can be thankful, that we celebrate our thankfulness for being free and for being able to worship the God that we want to worship. And God, that is you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us. Thank you for our salvation through him. I ask that you believe with us today as we go through your word. Bring us your knowledge. Bring us what you want us to understand. And help us as we go out into the world to bring the gospel to them. Father, I thank you for all these things, and I thank you for your blessings. This I ask in Christ's name. Amen. So, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, we did the last lesson. We did chapter 5 in Ephesians, and we were talking about how wives and husbands and families were supposed to be in their homes. This is one of those places in the Bible, one of many, where when man divided up the chapters and verses, it kind of messed up the flow of the letter. End of chapter 5 was how wives were supposed to be submitting to their husbands and how husbands were supposed to be treating them. But the beginning of chapter 6 is how children are supposed to behave. And then how servants and masters are supposed to behave. So we're going to go through that, and then the armor of God, and that'll finish us up in Ephesians. My plan is to start probably 1st or 2nd Corinthians, because they're so similar in letter. They're at different places in their church life in Corinth, but Paul's message to them is very similar, so we may start there. But that'll be in 2 weeks whenever I get back. So chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with them. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." We went through the husband and wives part last time. We're going to go through the children. We've all had children. I have children. I have a child in the home still, and two outside the home. And you guys have children that are for the most part out of the home. But this is for them. And we'll remember that when this letter is being read in the church at Ephesus, there are children present. So he's speaking directly to the children, not through the parents, but directly to the children. And it says, "Children, obey your parents." Well, they're Christians. The children being brought up in a household with a father who's a Christian, who is over the household and is a Christian, is raising them in Christian fashion. He is taking care of his family, his wife, and his children. And so the children should see that, and they're Christians too because of that. And it's in the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother is one of the commandments. And the Ten Commandments, all but one of them is actually mentioned in the gospel. We're not still under the law of the commandments because Jesus came and saved us from the law. But that doesn't mean that we aren't to live by the law. Those laws were put there for a reason. Jesus came and saved us from the sin when we don't live by the law, but we should still try. And obeying your parents is right. So children should be obeying their parents because it's the right thing to do. God commanded it, and they're Christians. So those are the reasons. But it doesn't just stop there. It talks about fathers. And you can read this as parents in our case. So the mama and the daddy, God is talking to them through this, or Paul is talking to them through God's word. Don't provoke them. So don't say one thing and mean another. Don't make them mad. Don't confuse them. Stay committed to what you're teaching them. And don't waver from that, which is God's word and God's way. Some parents tend to blame their kids for everything. I can't do X, or this is my life is this way because of my kids, and those kinds of, we hear that on the street. But we are, as parents, as Christian parents, we're supposed to blame them when it's appropriate and then take action on that blame. But praise them when it's appropriate too. It's not a one-way thing. We're to build them up in the Christian faith, but build them up as people growing in the Spirit, just like we are, but growing in society also. So we are to, you know, praise them when they do something right and good, and blame them. Blame means discipline them when they do something that's not right. Do what you say you're going to do. And I do. I'm probably one of the worst people about this. I tell Pace, if you don't do what I'm telling you, I'm going to take the Xbox away. I don't think he's ever had it taken away. But it's a threat that I never follow through on. Well, that's not good. That's confusing him. He knows at this point, I'm not going to take it away. That's what he feels like, because I never have. So follow through with what you're going to say, or what you say, do what you're going to do. And don't do what you say you won't do. I'm not going to do X, and then you go do that. Well, that's confusing also. It's just the reverse of what we just talked about. But be consistent. Do what you say you're going to do, and don't do what you say you won't do. Because anything that you do like that's just confusing. And so if you say, you know, you should be nice to those people because that is the Christian way and we are supposed to reach out to folks and love folks, and yet you don't like them and you show that in the home, that's confusing the children. And I'm I'm bad about that too. Bring them up in discipline and admonition of the Lord. So as we're raising our children, we are supposed to bring them up in the Lord's ways. Know the Lord, read the word, read with them, talk to them about it. And when we discipline them, which is, you know, the Lord says we should be disciplining our children. Don't do it out of anger, do it out of love. I can easily get real mad at Pace or Micah or Maggie and lash out and do something I really shouldn't do, but it's out of anger, not out of love for them. So I should make sure that I'm disciplining. When I'm disciplining them, I'm doing it out of love, because a discipline makes more sense then. If I jump on, if I tell Pace, don't go out of the house, and he goes out of the house, and I really come down hard on him. But then he is mean to somebody over there, and I barely touch that surface on how bad that was. Well, that's inconsistent. The punishment doesn't necessarily fit what the action was. So we have to be consistent, and we have to be fair in how we discipline our children. And we are to instruct and encourage them. And that, to me, this covers the entire thing. As parents, we are to teach them, instruct them, and encourage them to do better, or when they do good, to continue those good actions. Encouragement is something I don't see as much anymore. I see a lot, and a lot of that may be because we don't see what's happening privately. We just see what's happening when people are out in the world. But I see a lot of, I see very little encouragement anymore about it. Football, at sports events especially, and daddies are terrible about this. Kid does something bad, they get on them. Kid does something good, they don't say anything. So that's what you were supposed to do. Well, that's not the way this works. We are to instruct and encourage our children. And then masters. So think of masters and slaves today as work, bosses, supervisors, and workers. We are servants as bosses or supervisors. We are to seek the well-being of the people we're over. We're not to use them inconsistently or yell at them and scream at them and all that. We are to try to find their well-being. So that's our job as supervisors and bosses, is to take care of those that are working for us. Well, that's what Paul is saying to those who had servants during the time of Ephesus. Take care of your servants. Make sure that their will, you're providing for them and their well-being. Don't threaten them. Don't say, I'm going to come down on you if you don't do X, or I'm going to, in those days it was pretty tough society, and you could die for doing something wrong as a servant. And what Paul's saying is that's not the way this works. You're to take care of your servants just as Christ has taken care of you. And if we look at it that way, then there should never be anything but trying to make a person's life better and find that salvation that we as Christians have found. So we are to be looking out for them, not threatening them at all. And we are to submit to the Lord. The Lord has given us everything we have. He's given us our salvation through the gospel, through Jesus' death. He's provided for us. He loves us. He is taking care of us. He is making sure that we, he's making sure of our well-being spiritually and physically, because we submit to the Lord. But that doesn't change just because you're a master or you're a boss or you're a supervisor. You should still be doing the same, and then in trying to ensure the well-being of those that work for you. This one is as good in the kids section as it is here. Don't play favorites. As a boss, you have those people who work hard and do what needs to be done, and you never have to discipline them. You never have to worry about what they're doing. You never have to even wonder. It just gets done. And then you have those that you have to consistently check up on and take care of. Well, just by the nature of a human being, you're going to gravitate to those who are taking care of the business, and you start to play favorites. Well, that's not what's supposed to happen. They're all equal in God's eyes, no matter if they're doing their job or not, because you may not be doing your job either. But in God's eyes, we're all equal. So don't play favorites, because God doesn't play favorites either. And thank goodness he doesn't play favorites. So servants, masters, and children fall under the same topics as fathers, as husbands, as wives. We're to submit to the Lord and take care of each other. And this all starts at home. If you do it in the home, you're naturally going to do it outside the home because now it's become your the way you live. And if you're not doing it at home, you most likely won't do it outside. So now we get into the armor of God. Now that we know how we're supposed to act and supposed to take care of each other, how do we get protected while we're doing that? Well, first thing, what are you being protected from? Well, you're being protected from the enemy, right? Who is the enemy? Well, it's the devil. The term devil means accuser. Satan means adversary. So devil and Satan are interchangeable in the Bible, but they mean different things. You got an accuser. The devil is accusing you of wrongdoing before God. And then he's God's adversary. He's trying to do what he needs to do to overthrow God, which we know is not going to happen, but he's still trying. And who are his helpers? Well, they're demonic creatures. They're in the spiritual realm trying to affect each of our lives in a way that he can accuse us before God because we did something wrong. Or he continues to be God's adversary by trying to change our lives and make us go to the dark side, be bad, do things against God's wishes. So that's the devil's always active in our lives that way, spiritually. He's always on us. So God has provided armor to help protect us against that. But Satan is crafty. Satan is powerful. He's strategic in how he does things. He knows what our soft points are, where he can hit us, and it'll make the most difference for his will, for Satan's will. And he's cunning. He's going to do everything he can to get to those soft spots and hit you with something. But God provides us equipment to take care of our soft spots and our hard spots, our entire body. So he talks about the belt or the girdle of truth. The belt held the rest of the equipment together. Truth holds all of God's word together. It's about truth. Satan's a liar, pure and simple. And truth will defeat him because truth always defeats a lie. So when a believer lies, think of it this way, when we lie, our life starts to go south. Things start to go wrong. Our lives are not back, they're not godly as much as they were. We've lied. We've gone against God in some way. And if you want to see a good example of this, just read David when he lied about Bathsheba. And when after that, his life went south. God still loved him, but his life was not as good as it was before he lied. So Satan is the liar in our belt of truth. We have to maintain the truth, be truthful, be true, and stay in the word so that we know how to be truthful. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness. This was obviously a breastplate. It goes from your neck to your belt, front and back, and it protected your torso. In this symbolization, it symbolizes our righteousness in Christ and our righteous life. Live correctly. You've got the truth. You know the truth. Now live correctly. Live out that truth. Use that breastplate to deflect any lies and any untruthful, unrighteous behavior. Stay away from the unrighteous behavior. Because Satan as an accuser can't accuse a believer living a godly life by the power of the Spirit. There's no accusation there. There's nothing to accuse you of because you haven't done anything. You're living a righteous life. So they use the breastplate. The breastplate is a symbol of living that righteous life. Shoes of the gospel. The gospel gives us sure footing in battle. We're always in battle with Satan. We're always in battle with those spirits. But the gospel, Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross for our salvation, our example for living that gives us sure footing in battle. That we know how we were supposed to be. We know where we're going because we're believers and Jesus has saved us through his death. So that gives you sure footing. And it also gives us peace with God and therefore no fear of attack from man or Satan. Because if we're at peace with God, we know where we are. We know what God has done for us. We believe in that. No matter what happens to us, we're going to be with him. So if Satan's shooting at us, that's okay. If man is shooting at us, that's okay. We are on solid ground with God. He's going to take care of us, and he's providing us the gospel that tells us how he's going to take care of us. But those shoes also prepare us to go out every day and share that gospel with those who don't have it. So we have to be people. We have to go out and make sure that people are hearing this. And I know in the U.S. today, in our lives today, there's nobody that hasn't heard of the gospel. But there's a lot of people who haven't heard it enough to understand it and believe it. And we are God's ambassadors. We are, just like Paul, we are ambassadors of this gospel. And as believers, it is our job because we have the shoes of the gospel. God has given us the gospel. We're to take it to those who may not believe it yet and continue to take it and love them in doing that. We're not beating them over the head. That's not the issue. But you live a godly, righteous, truthful life. And you talk about how the gospel has changed yours and that plant that seed so God can change them. The shield of faith. So the shield at that time was heavy wood covered in leather, and it protected from arrows and spears and flaming, like fiery darts. We've seen that in the Bible. And this shield of faith, this faith is trust in the promises and the power of God. The shield is symbolizing God's, our trust in God and his power to overcome anything. And as a defensive tactic, to defend against Satan's fiery darts. But in battle with the shields, the men would get together and the shields would interlock. And they were constructed in such a way that it was like the, when they marched into battle, shield to shield, it's like a wall walking toward the enemy. So this means that we're not alone. Our shields, our trust, our faith in God, the power of God, means that we're all in this together. We are to connect together to help deflect the fiery darts and the spears and the arrows from each other. But we have to be together to do that. We fend off ourselves, but we never know what's coming from this way, right? But if we're all together, we're protected. So we protect each other by being together. We're not in this alone. And then the helmet of salvation. Of course, the helmet protects the head. And in this case, it's the mind. Those who are giving themselves to God, God controls. He's controlling your mind. That means that Satan can't lead you astray if God is in control. But you have to commit completely to God. And Bible study plays a huge role in this. You have to understand, or you have to read the Bible, understand the gospel. But it plays a huge role in a believer's Christian growth, service, and victory over Satan. We have to be in the Word to know more about how God is using us and protecting us, and we are to serve Him. So that helmet protects our mind that God is controlling. And then the sword of the Spirit. It's actually the only offensive weapon God has given us. Everything else, think about that. Everything else is defensive to try to ward off things. Well, the sword is offensive. Just as the physical sword cuts the body, the spiritual sword cuts the heart. When we became believers, God's Spirit pierced our heart. It broke us. It cut us because we had sinned against Him. And now as believers, God is protecting us. And that same Spirit has healing powers. That same spiritual sword heals our heart. And now we are with God and God is taking care of us. Satan tries to use the word of God to confuse people. And as you can think of this as people who you've heard interpretations of verses out of context that mean absolutely nothing to what the Bible was trying to tell them. Well, that's Satan using them and getting into their minds and confusing them about what the Bible means and what it's all about. So the more we study and understand, the less Satan's able to do that. But we have to be in the Word. So Jesus is our full armor of God. Jesus is the one who came, lived, died a perfect life, a perfect death, so that we can have salvation and live with God forever. He is our protection. He is our spiritual force. He is all of those things that God's armor provides. Jesus is God's armor. So as we go into the next weeks, we need to remember that we have the armor, but we have to put it on. That means we have to live in Jesus every day and do His will and get in the Word and understand Him every day. Because the more we understand, the more we learn, and the more we become like Jesus, the better that armor of God protects us, and the better we are able to serve Him by serving others. Father, thank You for today again. Thank You for this lesson. Father, I pray that You will use these words to teach us and to help us every day put on Your armor by living in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we, as we go into the weeks, we will bring the gospel to those who don't fully understand it and some that may not even know it. Live an example for You and let You use us in those other people's lives. This I ask in Christ's name. Amen.